And you're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It's Thursday morning. It's 8:49, and that means it's time for Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, today we're talking about the first Thanksgiving and the Worcester Art Museum, which we love, and a little-known lady photographer.
This is one of my favorite stories in quite some time, just because of the story behind it. So Vivian Meyer is this French woman, moved to the United States. She was a nanny in New York and Chicago throughout the 50s and 60s and a little bit into the 70s. In fact, she was Phil Donahue's nanny for his family wow. at one point in Chicago. Huh. But what she was doing is she was going out just about every day with a Rolleiflex camera for much of this time, taking pictures. And she was really taking pictures of everything. She was taking pictures of people, of herself. She's got all these great selfies, these self-portraits, and she was taking pictures of the social landscape. She would take the train from where she was with these wealthy families for whom she was nannying down to the south side of Chicago and really get what was happening in our country at that time. But she didn't develop most of these pictures. And so flash forward to 2009. Most of her materials are in storage lockers, including thousands and thousands of rolls of film, undeveloped film, and all of these negatives. She can no longer afford to keep up the storage facilities. They're auctioned off. Three different men buy them. Basically, they're looking for flea market finds. They just want to be able to develop these pictures from this unknown woman and sell them in flea markets about, here's vintage Chicago. They start doing this on eBay. Scholars intervene and say, you've got to stop this. You have no idea what you have here. Wow. The work of this photographer is amazing. So now, in the intervening years, just in the last 3 or 4 years, people are beginning to understand who Vivian Meyer was.
Really?
She died just a few days after... she died in 2009, just a few days after one of the people who had bought her negative started looking for her online. And so we know nothing about her. One of the shameful things, horrible things, is the person who sold off her contents just heaved all her journals and biographical information she kept about herself. So we know nothing about her other than that she took these really great photographs. So they're starting to be shown in galleries, they're starting to be exhibited, and there'll be a film next spring. You can see all of this right now at the Women's Studies Research Center at Brandeis University.
At Brandeis, huh? That's fascinating. So here is a photographer who would have gone completely unnoticed had not someone noticed that these were more than just casual photographs.
Yeah, and it's so great because it's suddenly, it's like discovering a major figure, a Diane Arbus, for whom some people compare her, or, any of the great photographers of the 20th century. I talked to co-curator Karen Rosenthal of this exhibit. She's also a photographer herself, on what the critical assessment of Meyer will be.
She's sometimes been called a copycat or an encyclopedia of all the photography that was going on in the 50s, and there was tons going on in the 50s. But when I examine that, I don't see that to be the case at all. I don't know anybody who photographed children the way she did, for one thing, or did self-portraits that were as imaginative and interesting or included so much of the world around her.
This makes me want to see these photographs.
And you will love them. You will fall in love immediately, I guarantee you.
Okay, this is at Brandeis at the Women's Studies Research Center through December 18th. Next, we turn to one of our favorite places, the Worcester Art Museum. What's happening there?
More great things are happening. So recently, Matthias Vaschek, who's the relatively new director, he's been there for a couple of years, and as we've talked about before, he's bringing this terrific vitality back to the museum. And what he has done is he has rehung the European Masters Galleries, and we've talked about this, they have these incredible treasures. They have a Rembrandt, El Greco, Caravaggio, all of the greats, and really fantastic paintings by these greats. Because they were, as we've talked about before, they came up at the same time as the MFA, so they were collecting, but just not in the same capacity. So Matthias Vaschek came to understand, they had a survey that showed that people were spending 3 minutes to go through the European art galleries, which is ridiculous because, as he points out, it takes 1 minute just to walk through them. So people were not paying attention to these pictures. So he thought, well, how can I change that? And so he has sort of harkened back to the palaces and museums that he visited when he was growing up in Europe. And so he has a new style of hanging. All of the paintings tilt towards you, which, for one thing, it takes away the glare. And it also sort of, as he describes, it invades your space. You're part of these paintings because they're coming at you. He's hung the medallion style so that you have links between all of these paintings. In one instance, you see all of these people gazing toward the heavens, artists you wouldn't think are necessarily painting religiously, suddenly you see the connection between all of them.
Fascinating.
He's also, and I struggled with this, Bob, I have to tell you, he's taken away all the wall labels. So you just see walls that are pictures only, no text, no words, and it forces you to put yourself into the paintings, to interpret whatever you want. And for me, it was a, sort of a bit of a quiz. You know, I know these artists, I know these paintings very well from covering art, but I had to sort of test myself about who the artists were, because all you have available are nearby laminated guides and a couple iPads. But no, it's a very pure wall. He's doing great things out there.
Now, you said they received a gift at the end of the summer that you call transformative. What masterpiece can visitors now see there?
They were given by the mom of one of the Beastie Boys, Venus Disarming Cupid, which is one of the last remaining Veronese paintings in private hands. So for this to land in Worcester is just absolutely incredible. And I talked to Matthias Vaschak about that.
We have a lot of highly dressed saints, but we really lack luscious nudes. And we really lack the connection with another heritage of our Western culture, which is that of antiquity and of joie de vivre. So that Venus puts joie de vivre into our collection. So it gives us overnight, basically, a strength from where we could possibly also think, inspire other gifts, and think of strategic purchases.
I like the way he says joie de vivre.
Isn't it great?
That's great. Next, we turn to the real story about the first Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this is really fun. This is put together by Plymouth Plantation, and they have put together an exhibit at the Senate, at the State House, and just outside, there's a hall just outside of the Senate chambers, and it's open to the public. And this really gives you a sense of what the first Thanksgiving was like. One of the things I love about Plymouth Plantation is everything that comes out of there is done by their own artisans, and it's done with purity. They do as much research as possible about how artifacts, about how pieces looked for the pilgrims, about processes and techniques, and then they recreate these pieces in that same way. So here you have this exhibition that takes you through what pieces of the first Thanksgiving might have been like. And Richard Pickering, who's a deputy director of Plymouth Plantation, I had a chance to talk with just yesterday about how they constructed this exhibit, which was they found this one document. It's the only surviving document that describes what happened in that fall of 1621 when you had about 90 Wampanoags and about 52 pilgrims come together. So he describes that document.
There is only one eyewitness account of the first Thanksgiving. Edward Winslow, who would later become one of the colony's governors, wrote to a friend in December 1621. That letter survives because it was captured by French pirates and ultimately was taken from France into England and was published. It is not known if it ever would have entered the public record if it had not been interfered with by pirates.
So there we go. Pirates can receive credit for something. But anyway,
these great stories that we're stumbling upon this week. And basically what you do is you, line by line from this account, you go through, and they've done everything from these hand-embroidered linens and handkerchiefs and headdresses, and you get a sense of the food that would have been on the Thanksgiving table. And like I said, this all comes from these artisans at Plymouth Plantation. I also talked to Richard about that.
Plymouth Plantation is one of those museums where everything is reproduction. So our guests can lie on a bed, sit in a chair, open a drawer, touch and smell and experience. And the only way to do this kind of 360-degree history is to have a core of artisans who can craft every item that is needed.
And for those who haven't been there in a while, I was just there a couple of weeks ago. It is a fascinating place, Plymouth Plantation. Now, coming up tomorrow night, we have Open Studio. What's on the agenda for that?
Well, Lizzie Borden took an axe. I think you know the rest of that. And you can see it happen. The Boston Lyric Opera next week it presents a new chamber version of the classic opera, Lizzie Borden. So we'll talk to the two stars of that, the woman playing Lizzie Borden and her mom. And you'll see more of our tour of the Worcester Art Museum and the new galleries.
That's great. Tomorrow night at 8:30 on WGBH2. Thank you, Jared. See you next week.
Thanks, Bob.